intercepted by Notre Dame.
For Notre Dame football fans, there's no sweeter sound than the words,
touchdown Notre Dame,
or Irish win.
He's in for touchdown. The Irish have come from behind.
As a fan of the Fighting Irish, you know that Saturdays in the fall are not just game days. They are unforgettable experiences. Welcome to a fan's perspective on Fighting Irish football. This is Dome and Domer. Here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans. Welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me, Ed Jordanic. And Ed, today is the day we can breathe a little easier.
I mean, today's the day we could laugh and, you know,
We finally got one that went our way, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. No, this is a good day. This is a good day for Notre Dame football.
It is. During the game, I was, like, kind of frustrated. You know, I was thinking to myself, my God, how many chances do you want to give? And, with the way that we've played the last two games, which the defense did it again. I mean, there's nothing you can say about that. I mean, they are flat out hitting all the right spots at the right time. I mean, they're definitely peaking at the end of the season here. But during the game, my gut instinct was, or at least my feelings at the time were, all right, if we pull this out, it's not going to be all that great of a win for us. However, the second the game ended, it then hit me that, holy cow, this is exactly what we needed.
Yeah, no, and I think every win is a good win for us. I mean, this is just a team and a program that has to learn how to win again, and you could see that develop over the last month. I mean, look at the way that they played as a team. I mean, you know, the last couple of years, you'd have a situation where the offense would be putting points on the board. The defense would be giving them right back, you know, basically unable to get a stop. And you could see that start to wear on the offense, and eventually, there'd be some breakdowns. Same thing if the defense, you know, would start to play well, and you could just see that if the offense was inept, which our offense was at several points in the game yesterday, there's just a different vibe on the sideline. You can pick it up in the players' body language. You can pick it up in the way that the coaches relate to the players. And not to get all, warm and fuzzy about this, but this is what I think Notre Dame fans have been craving now for a while. That kind of, what though the odds type feeling when they watch a football team play. That feeling that we're never out of it. That feeling that that we have a little bit of a mental edge, and you know that's starting to come back. I mean, I was surprised at how confident I was even during the point where Tommy Reese was handing the ball over to to USC every 3 or 4 minutes, and I think that was because there's been a little bit of a string of kind of fundamental football. Stop the run and run the ball over the last month, which has really been a way to gauge, I think, the toughness of a football team. And there's no doubt that it's a tougher football team.
They are, and they showed it last night. There were several. I mean, if you look at all of USC's scoring drives, they were inside our 40. I think every single time they scored, they started with the football inside our 40.
Well, I was on the 10-yard line. On the end zone, away from on the opposite. I mean, they didn't. You know, I didn't see any action in the third quarter. I mean, everything was on the USC side of the field, and I was soaking wet too. And and my buddy Dan Zohar, who went to the game with me, you know, he was great. He brought his UCLA seat cushions along just to mess with the minds of the USC people a little bit more. He's a Duke guy. He's got no affiliation with Notre Dame, but he hung in there right to the end. I don't think he's spent that much time in the rain since he was waiting out in Krzyzewskiville for North Carolina tickets.
Nice.
But it was a good feeling because you wanted to be there. You wanted to see if they stepped up or not, and they definitely did. You know, it wasn't a perfect game by any means, but you know, you can't start a rivalry streak going the other direction until you get that first one. And I don't think it matters how you get it. I think it just matters to get it. I don't think it matters if USC is backsliding a little bit or down a little bit. I think you still have to beat them, and you have to do it on their field. And so that was a big, big step that the program took yesterday. And you got to tip your hat to the coaches and to the players and especially to the seniors for keeping this thing together when a month ago there were a lot of people who just felt that this was a program that was really in peril, that it was, you know, that it was really on the rocks. But like Brian Kelly said, it was
so.
it's a team thing. It's not an individual thing.
It is, and it was a team win last night.
It was,
and they say, you know, defense wins games for you, and they clearly did last night. But you know, the game was in doubt. USC goes up 16-13. We could have easily just packed it in, and they didn't. They responded. They went straight down the field. They scored. And then the defense came and held. And granted, it got a little iffy there at the end. I mean, that drop football was one of the bigger drops that I've seen in this rivalry in a long time.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was.
I mean, that was huge. That he did turn back a little bit, but, I mean, that clearly was a ball he should have caught.
Now, I haven't watched the tape of the film yet, Mike. Somebody told me that the play before that, there was a catch that USC made and then a fumble that wasn't. Called. Did you catch that? I don't know who the receiver was for USC, but I think in the play before the big drop, I mean, they had a couple drops on that last drive. But you know, there were things that went, you know, USC probably dropped two or three interceptions. We probably dropped two or three interceptions.
Right.
You know, the missed point after, a couple of the interesting calls, the clock fiascos with the referees. You know, it was just one of those, you know, Notre Dame USC games. I mean, it hasn't rained like that in LA, you know, in 5 years. In talking to some people there, you know, I mean, they're in kind of a decade long drought, basically, outside of a few, you know, mudslides that they've had. So it was just pretty, you know, it kind of harkened back to those days where, you know, either we felt we were getting screwed by the refs, you know, in LA, or there was a, you know, a funny play that, you know, went in a particular direction, and it had all the elements of a really good college football game. And, you know, that I think the people, the 48% of the country who got to watch it, are probably pretty glad that ABC switched it on for them.
Yeah, it was interesting because prior, I mean, Saturday morning when I got up and looked at the map of what was showing, I mean, it was about 20%. So luckily, a bunch of ND fans called into their local affiliate screaming. Now, down here in Florida, they didn't end up showing it, so I ended up going to a DirecTV bar in order to watch the game. And there were several other Notre Dame fans there with us, so that was kind of cool. But the fact is that, you know, it was a little bit ugly at times during the game, but you know, Notre Dame needed a win there, and they needed it bad, and they got it. And now there's some momentum building with this football team that, you know, I do think that ended up putting Notre Dame in a little bit better bowl position.
It definitely did.
Up,
yeah.
Yeah, they're going to sneak up on somebody and get into a pretty decent bowl and have a pretty decent opponent that's really going to give us a chance to gauge, okay, where is this team at finishing out the year?
Well, you know, it's very possible that their bowl opponent, you know, won't be a better football team than USC, Utah, or Army. I mean,
could be.
You know,
yeah.
You know, they might play Maryland. It sounds like, you know, maybe Florida State. It sounds like Orlando is where they're most likely to end up. In the Champs Bowl down there, we'll expect you to drive up and cover the game in person, Mike.
Right.
You know, so it, but no, it's another, you know, it's the whole development thing and the additional practices and a chance to also, you know, show prospective recruits that things are headed in the right direction.
Yeah, and it is. It's a big step for Notre Dame. It's clearly it's a huge win. And if anything, I think sets up for next year. Had we lost any one of these three last games, I'm not so sure that they would have looked on us very favorably for next year and really put us in an awkward situation from a ranking standpoint. If we can somehow win this bowl game, you'd be real hard pressed not to have us in the top 25 next year. Maybe just outside the 25, but clearly in a much better situation than it was looking like a month ago. And that means a lot from a recruiting standpoint, from a program standpoint, from, you know, trying to get this thing turned around. It was looking really bleak. Yeah. But
you know what I think about those rankings. I mean, I don't think they should rank anybody until halfway through the season.
They shouldn't, but the point is unfortunately, it does lead to that. And, you know, people look at how you finish
Oh, yeah, no, definitely.
You know, Florida State and Florida with two programs going in the opposite direction. You know, had we just tailed off, I think it would have been dead for us at the beginning of the next year. Whereas now, there's plenty of chance and opportunity for us to start out and build some momentum and really make, you know, next year and another building block of getting us back to the elite.
Well, see, you know, I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, the way that I look at it is that there's what we see on the outside and what's going on inside the program. And the issue is that sometimes the actual results take a while to catch up with what's going on the inside. And obviously, you know, things have been progressing on the inside of the program. Things have been moving in the right direction. They just didn't manifest themselves on the field. And part of that is because you can't control things like, you know, four or five frontline players going down. So, you know, this is a team whose record could have been, you know, certainly worse by the end of the year, but the program not necessarily, you know, internally wouldn't have been in worse shape. I mean, I think they could have finished 5-7 or 6-6 or, you know, or something like that and be exactly where they are right now in terms of development. But the big thing that they wouldn't have is confidence. And winning breeds winning. And when you see the results of your hard work show up in a W, I don't care if it's against Army or Western Michigan or Tulsa or USC, then it just puts you further ahead of schedule or further ahead of the game in terms of getting back to the or getting to where you want to go. And I think that's been basically Kelly's whole point for the last month is we on the outside don't necessarily see the progress that he sees, but it's very gratifying and it's also rewarding. What he wanted was for some of these guys to taste, to see, you know, he doesn't want Chris Stewart and, you know, Darren Walls and, you know, these guys, you know, looking, you know, sitting in their living rooms, you know, next fall, seeing Notre Dame go on a 3 or 4 game winning streak saying, you know, hey, we laid the groundwork for that. He wanted those guys to taste some of that success this year. And I think it's great that they have.
Yeah, they have.
You know,
they definitely have. And it's and those guys have all played well. But as a team, and I think you definitely saw it last night. I mean, finally, we're seeing a football team play together. And the defense gave us all kinds of opportunities last night. They held tough. But when the offense needed it, and they needed it being down 16-13, they came away. And they won the football game. They didn't go in and kick a field goal to tie it to go into overtime. They marched down the field and won the football game.
Right.
And so all of that bodes well. I mean, I think a lot of people could say, well, Barkley didn't play. You know, who knows? It wouldn't have mattered, I don't think. I mean, I think if Barkley would have been in there, it just would have made it that much more competitive for us and would have amounted to us responding better. And I think we would have. You know, as a football team, the entire football game, we responded. We overcame 4 turnovers, and that's not something you.
Oh, you don't win football games that way.
You just don't.
No way.
You can't give the ball up that many times and expect to win. And as bad as we played, we still won the football game. And we won it against a team that we have not had any success against at all. And you know, I think that bodes well. Those guys should have celebrated in the locker room and really hooped it up. And, you know, a lot of positive things are going to come out of this. And I think the bowl game is going to be a big indication of that. That's going to be a great opportunity for us to get some national exposure and to play well and to have all of the talk in the offseason be, all right, what's the upside now? These guys finished off incredibly strong. You know, where do we go now? And all of that is going to bode well for Brian Kelly and his staff as they head into the offseason.
Well, you know, it was really interesting listening to Trojan download, I think is what they call it, after the game, driving out of the Coliseum and heading towards the airport and basically listening to their, you know, equivalent of Jack Nolan and Mirko Jukurvic and Reggie Brooks, you know, some former defensive back that I've never heard of and some other, you know, Yahoo talking about, you know, and the people calling in, and you know, they were very critical of Lane Kiffin's play calling. You know, couldn't understand why a couple guys, you know, weren't on the field for USC. Allen Bradford, their big running back, didn't play much at all. I think, according to people that I talked to, it's mostly because he can't hang on to the football. He's such a liability in terms, you know, he's got 6 yards a carry or whatever. But by the way, USC is a good, running team. I mean, their statistics for the year, the last two games they didn't run the ball well, but they're a good running football team. So, you know, Notre Dame held a very, good, statistically at least, running team to well below their averages for the year. But USC fans, they're not too happy right now, and they think that they underachieved this year. You got the probation stuff hanging over. So college football fans all over the place are the same. When you lose, it's we didn't play up to our capabilities. When you win, what were the things that we could have done better? There's a total lack of satisfaction with the elite programs and their fans, which is just interesting to hear it kind of from the other side. But the bottom line is that the better team performance won on the field, and Notre Dame handled the elements better. They played better in the rain, than USC did. One of the things that was really encouraging to me was how efficiently we got the ball into the end zone the second time in the second quarter, right before the half.
Yeah.
I thought there was a 50-50 chance that Kelly would just kneel on it and run it out.
Yep. That was a good sign. Actually, I was really pleased to see that because we had plenty of time once we got the ball back. I mean, 44 seconds is a big difference.
Right.
Than 20.
Right.
And they did the right things. And I loved it. I thought it was great.
The clock management was pretty good.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was. It was pretty good. And it showed a lot of, character of the announcers mentioned it on Blackledge and
Nestler.
One of the things they mentioned was, a lot of times football teams, when they go up against determining how tough they are, it's times like that where, you got to show a little bit of mettle, and they did.
Right.
They got the football, and they marched down the field, and they did it with, some moxie. And that was huge. I mean, that totally set the stage going into the half for Notre Dame,
right.
And it was huge. I mean, there's just no doubt about it.
And then whether it was Monty Kiffin making good adjustments, or the rain starting to fall a little harder, or Tommy just kind of getting out of his comfort zone again, or I actually thought that if you want to be critical of anything, to me, a little bit was Brian Kelly's play calling in the third quarter. I thought he
maybe a little bit, but the one thing that I did see in all of his interceptions. There, one of them into the linebacker, Sierra Wood, was wide open in the flats. I mean, there wasn't a single person within 20 yards of him.
Yeah.
And on the other one, somebody else was wide open as well. And it just goes to show, I mean, I think it is the knock on Tommy Reese right now, which is typical of a freshman. He's just locking in too much.
Yeah.
He's not stepping back and having confidence he's going to have a second or two more than he's got. And the one thing you got to do as a quarterback, and I played quarterback myself in high school, and I really didn't figure it out actually until I was at Notre Dame and was playing interhall football. But when you can drop back in the pocket and put your eyes on every receiver that's in the play, when you can glance that quickly, that's when you slow the game down.
Sure.
And when you can do that, when you slow the game down, that's when you become a master at because throwing to the right guy is 80% of the battle. I mean, if you can just drop back and see what's being dealt with you and take a look, because you may have somebody that falls down or something.
Yep.
And if you're not glancing over, and clearly he's not doing that right now. So,
yeah.
He's going to the guy that should be open based on the defense as they start. But when you're not looking around, I mean, all he had to do was glance to the flat, and holy cow, just a quick flip, and there's nobody within 20 yards of Sierra Wood.
Right. I just thought that the way that the game was going, there was a pretty good chance that a 13-3, lead was going to hold up. And that, Hughes got a couple carries in the first half, but I thought, even if they only got, maybe 1, 2, 3 first downs before they had to punt it away, that if they could just win the field position battle in the third period, they had a decent chance of winning the game 13-9, if they didn't turn the ball over and they just, played a little bit of ball control and ran clock. So I thought that maybe Kelly was a little, that you can maybe quibble with, with, you know, putting Reese in the in some of those situations deep in their territory. But I haven't watched it. You probably saw it better than I did. It was probably more of a case of execution than it was the actual play calls. It was just, you know.
I thought so. Yeah, I thought it was just execution.
Yeah.
I really did.
Yeah.
Just one of those things. But, well, let's cut it for there. Hopefully we'll come back with some great news about where we're playing. And for me, I'd love to have it anywhere near because I'm definitely going to go, that's for sure.
That would be great. That would be great.
Yeah,
you know, one thing real quick. You know, the next month will be also key for recruiting. I think that we should probably be realistic about this win and how it affects recruiting. You know, it's really interesting if you look back and you see – I think it can't hurt probably, but also you kind of have to take it with a grain of salt. I mean, Notre Dame signed some pretty, I just saw this morning, you know, they signed like Michael Floyd and, you know, these other guys right after a couple really terrible losses, you know? So
Right. It's
hard to say what kind of impact that this will have, but hopefully at least it has neutralized some of the, some of the Navy stuff, the stuff that, you know, happened a month ago that kind of, you know, had people questioning whether, you know, things were headed in the right direction. And, you know, I think they've got a good story to tell right now, and hopefully they can close strong because that is important. You know, you got to keep – there's still holes in this program in terms of some talent. I mean, I think you'll agree that, as we've said every week since the beginning of the season, the issue with this program was much more between the ears than it was in terms of talent and speed and ability. And now that we've kind of seems like we've really made progress on that, the mentality of these guys, then it's just an issue of continuing to bring in good athletes and coach them up.
Yep, absolutely. Hopefully that's the case. We'll see. For now, you've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jerdanik, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.